council meeting to order. First thing will be approval of the agenda. Mr. Baker?
Yes, we have several suggested changes. We are recommending deletion of approval of the minutes, and also introduction of proposed zoning ordinances, because we do not have any at this time, and also deletion of the executive session and action on executive session items.
Entertain a motion to approve the amended agenda.
You got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Phillips, any questions? Take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Reading of correspondence. Mr. Moore?
There's no correspondence, Mr. President.
I have something, Mr. President.
West Council, anybody got anything? George has something.
Rehoboth Cooperative Preschool thanking for a donation, and I'll pass that on down to...
And else from council, have anything? Okay, Mr. Baker?
The first item is the redistricting report, and Mr. Moore would like to address that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Baker. And I'm passing down a report at this point. And I'd like first just kind of give a quick recap of the process. On June 29th, 2011, I gave my first report to council, County Council, on the process. And during that report, I reviewed with the council the legal requirements of redistricting. And then I requested that the public be invited to provide written comments on the process. That was something new, had not been done before. The council then instructed me to proceed. After the public comments were reviewed, I then, with the assistance of Richard Carter and college intern Ryan Adams, started drafting maps. I then reported to the council through a PowerPoint presentation on May 23rd, 2011. During that presentation, I gave an overview of the process and goals, some of which were based on the comments received from the public, others based on the legal requirements. I then shared those goals publicly, which are that we needed an impartial redistricting. We need to change the districts as little as possible to not undo what the voters had done. No current council members in the same district. Keep communities of interest together. Look at both current and historic trends and data, and make sure increases in population match increases in representation, in this case with emphasis on areas east of 113. I then reviewed my proposals with the council and again suggested that the public be allowed an opportunity to comment. This was done immediately before the end of the council meeting and was posted on the website. Comments were allowed via email or regular mail through 4:30 p.m. Friday, September 2nd, 2011. And then I want to thank Chip Guy for his assistance in disseminating the information to the media, and thanks to the media for their extended coverage of this. Due to the hurricane, it was decided to extend the deadline to respond to Tuesday, 12 noon, September 6, 2011. A press release was issued announcing the extended date, and it was immediately posted on the website. At 12 noon, September 6, 2011, the website was pulled, and we had received 5 responses by email, and Robin reported we had not received any by regular mail. I will summarize the 5 we received. The first was opposed to the 5th District in retaining its current configuration. The second questioned the makeup of the panel and why the council was in charge and was opposed to District 5 redistricting. Let me turn the page. Number 3, they did not want Bridgeville to be removed from Mr. Wilson's district to Mr. Vincent's district. Number 4, did not like the District 5 makeup and wanted more political consideration for the beach. And number 5, questioned why we do the redistricting and why give the edge to the Democratic Party. Traditionally, the only input, and I have attached copies of these letters to this memo for you. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, the only input the public has had in the process was the public hearing after the ordinance was drafted. This council has opted to have public input before the drafting occurred, input after the maps were unveiled, but before the ordinance was drafted, and then the public hearing after the ordinance is drafted, which is mandated. The next step in this process is for the ordinance to be drafted and then introduced by member of council and then a public hearing scheduled. Time-wise, if it's the council's pleasure, I could have an ordinance drafted within the next 2 weeks. It would take 3 weeks for the advertising, the mandatory advertising. So it is possible that this matter could have a public hearing before November, end of October.
Unless there's any concern from council, I'd ask you to go ahead and do that.
Okay.
If you could work on getting that so we have on the agenda for 2 weeks from now, and then we'll move from there.
Can,
Cole.
Yeah, it was brought to my attention, Everett, that maybe the, and I don't have the map in front of me, but Ocean View and Millville, they've gone through some major expansions, and they show their land use plans that they've adopted in the towns. My understanding is, or my recollection was, that they weren't, like all of Ocean View wasn't in one district, and all of Millville wasn't in one district, and those two communities could possibly have split representation.
I'll take a look at that. One of the things that was difficult, too, and the advantage with Mr. Carter helping us on this, of course, the State Senate and the House has already drafted theirs. And we have to a certain extent, follow certain lines that they've established,
right,
because otherwise it will create EDs that don't have enough people in them.
Right.
And I know that there was two or three places in the county that specifically occurred, but I will definitely take a look at that issue.
If I understand correctly, the only district that had an overage in population was the third district?
Let's see, your district mm-hmm. was the one that had the mm-hmm. overage in population. Mr. Vincent's was too small,
mm-hmm.
and he was under the required.
Okay.
Well, I don't mind taking, like, I know where Joan lives. I could easily take in her community. I'd love to have
You don't want to do that.
Well, there was a lot of suggestions.
That would make up for that inequity.
I'll know George. Yeah, George.
And get some good representation in that.
Oh.
That might be somebody
who answers the phone when people call.
That might be a good idea.
Oh, you've got a phone?
Uh-huh.
Lord, make that a motion, George. Be rich.
If you'd proceed, we'd appreciate that. No.
You make that a farm
Thank
motion,
you.
George?
Next, Mr. Baker.
I'll wait till I get next. A backfilled room, smoke-filled room.
The next item is discussion and possible extension of the casino gambling moratorium. And while the county council was considering an ordinance to establish rules regarding gambling casinos, a moratorium on casinos was simultaneously instituted. And the six-month moratorium, which was approved March 22nd, is set to expire this coming Thursday on September 22nd. And I know we've had a couple discussions and regarding the proposed separate ordinance regarding casino rules. The current ordinance number 2183, as approved by the county council, states in section 3 that this extension ordinance can be extended, modified, or terminated at any time by a majority vote of all members of the county council. So this moratorium could be extended without having gone back to another public hearing and whatnot. The county could extend this moratorium for a period of time, such as 90 days. I've talked to Mr. Abbott and Mr. Lank about this, and that is one possibility. While the county council continues to work on an ordinance regarding casinos. Or it could extend the casino moratorium until the council acts on an ordinance regarding casinos. You could set it up either way, you know, as two options for the council to look at. So you could set a particular number of days like we've done in the past, like 90 or 120 days, or you could set it to just extend until the council acts on an ordinance regarding rules for casinos.
Okay. What is the, am I have a particular thought about that?
I don't want to wait too long. The state might go back in session. Who knows what they'll do?
Oh, it seems like we should just extend it until the council has developed the ordinance to address the issue.
Okay. You want to make
until we adopt? Until we adopt, you're saying,
until
right?
Something.
Until we adopt a new. Yeah.
I'll move that we extend the moratorium until
adoption.
The adoption of an ordinance which provides regulation of casinos.
Second.
Mr. Cole, second. Any question on the motion? I will take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I understand Councilman Phillips' motion, but I would rather see a separate or direct time associated with this, because this could go on for a long time, and really the legislature could convene while we're waiting. So I would like to, I won't vote for that one.
Your vote was?
No.
No, okay, thank you. Mr. Cole?
I'll vote yes, because I'm hoping that we will have enough pressure on us to get this job done in a timely fashion.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I also vote yes. Motion carried. Mr. Reyes report, Mr. Baker.
The first item is Delaware State Police report, and we have attached a copy of the Delaware State Police report for July. The state police in the county handled 4,744 complaints during the month of July, which resulted in 1,442 criminal arrests, and there were also 4,942 traffic arrests during the month. Job fair, September 26th, Delaware's congressional delegation will be sponsoring a job fair at Dell Tech in Georgetown on September 26th from 9 a.m. till 3 p.m., and we have attached information regarding the event. Delaware State Emergency Medical Service Association Award. The Sussex County EMS Department received the Stephanie Calloway Excellence in Paramedic Medicine Award last week. They also received recognition from the Sussex County Volunteer Ambulance Association and Delaware State Emergency Medical Services Association for outstanding service provided by our paramedic department. And we have attached copies of the resolution and the award. We wish to again congratulate our paramedic department for these honors that they have earned. Charles Farrell, we wish to inform you that Charles Farrell passed away on September 11, 2011. Mr. Farrell worked for the Sussex County Community Development Housing Division as a rehab specialist from 1985 until 1996, when he retired. He received many compliments on his work for the Community Development Division. He was a Korean War veteran and a Purple Heart recipient. We wish to express our condolences to Mr. Farrell's friends and family. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question for Mr.
Baker.
Those 10 troopers that we're waiting for, has there been any sign of them coming soon? Or
This report shows that there were 174 troopers assigned to Sussex County.
Mm-hmm.
And our number is supposed to be 183. 80,
right, okay.
And I left a message for Major Simpson yesterday with that very same question. I did not hear back from him, mm-hmm. So I'll be glad to update you. But in my notes from before this month, at least one of the classes was supposed to graduate, which would help bring the numbers up. And I'll let you know what the response is.
Thank you.
Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Baker, I don't know if you can answer this. The state police report, Sussex County compliment reporting month, July 2011. Is that represent just July? Was there 511 felony arrests in Sussex County in July?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay. I guess that could fall into the category of nonviolent crime, such as property that is leased, that is not returned in a certain amount of time, that's over $1,000, may be a felony. I guess that would also fall into that category. I just can't imagine 511 felony arrests in 1 month.
Seems
in Sussex
like a lot.
County.
Yeah. I could follow up with Major Simpson on that also. Yeah.
The front page says 1,442 criminal arrests.
Right.
Not counting over 4,000, almost 5,000 traffic arrests.
Yeah, okay.
Any more questions, Mr. Baker?
1,400.
Okay. Cole?
Again, on the same report here, the administrator's report. The jobs fair that our congressional people are holding here, are we involved at our economic development people going to be set up out maybe out there? And
well, I talk, our personnel department may be represented there. I emailed Mrs. Brewington, who's actually off today, and they are going to take a look at that, because we do have several openings, so we may have a small table there at the jobs fair.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if we, I mean, I would think that we should be more visibly participating, maybe not a small table, but a larger table, just maybe putting out some promotional thing about the county, mm-hmm. county, you know, county employment potential, you know, in the future. We may only have a couple jobs now, but, you know, we always are going to be hiring and, you know, and replacing people as people retire. So I think it's important that we, you know, have a presence. Right. And
okay, and the other thing we can check is our paramedic department, because they always have, we always have problems.
Well, like I said, we could have some representatives. I mean, jobs are the big issue everywhere. So I think the county needs to show that we think it's important also. And somehow, I don't know, put some kind of program together to be there.
Okay.
Isn't that the same day that economic development is going to be at a different event at the West Complex? Jobs for You or something like that?
Well, I hope not. It's,
yes, I thought
is
so.
There?
They won't be at this job fair. Okay.
Let me double check on the times on that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I'm sure that when Tom Carper and Chris Coons and John Carney throw a jobs fair supporting it, it's going to get a lot of attention, more so. You know, so ours may be a waste of time if we're trying to compete with that. So maybe let's not compete and let's maybe join forces or something. We may have time to do something like that.
Okay. Mr. Becker, you'll follow up on that?
Just a thought.
Yes. Mrs. Brewington, okay. Anything else, Mr. Becker?
No, that's it.
Okay. Brandy Bennett, come on down. Neighborhood Stabilization Program, NSP2, Memorandums of Understanding. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
And Mr. Whaley, good morning.
Good morning. In 2009, you authorized our department, Community Development and Housing, to enter into Memorandums of Understanding with Sussex County Habitat and Melford Housing Development Corporation to assist with the execution of the Neighborhood Stabilization Program Round 1. Largely in part to these two established nonprofit organizations, Sussex County was quite successful with its implementation of the stimulus program. In total, the county assisted 28 homebuyers through NSP1 to date. Six of those went through the Habitat model, and two went through Melford Housing. For NSP2, Community Development and Housing has vowed to maintain as much consistency as possible as we move from Round 1 to Round 2. We believe that by doing so, we can continue the success we've already seen. Further, we have several other partners, the Realtors Association, First State Community Action, NCAL, lenders and housing inspectors that are already very familiar with Sussex County's NSP program, and we don't want to compromise their understanding of the program by making major changes at this point. We're here today because the Neighborhood Stabilization Program Round 2 requires new memorandums of understanding for our partner organizations. We would like your approval to authorize Community Development and Housing to enter into these agreements with Habitat and Melford Housing. And again, these will be consistent with NSP1 with only minor modifications specific to Round 2 requirements.
Okay. Do you have a motion? Then we'll have some questions. Oh no, Mr. Phillips, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know that you can't. I think there's some laws against single sourcing for like supplies and things for jobs. Is there any concern that this could look as if we're having favoritism over these? Are there other groups out there that could complain that they didn't get a fair chance at participating?
I mean, as far as we've been made clear through HUD is that we are authorized to choose our partners for the NSP program. Okay. In terms of
and one of the things I'll point out that this does not mean that there will not be others that will have MOUs for NSP2. It's just that these two are ready. They've already got a track record, and there's basically very minor changes from their NSP1 memo of understanding and NSP2, and they want to get started with these that are ready. But there's always the possibility and anticipate that there will be other partners.
Any more questions, Mr. Cole?
Just clarify that you had 28. What was the 28 number? Was what?
28 households were assisted through the first round
assisted,
of funding.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably assist several more through NSP1 with program income.
Explain what assisted defined for me.
Well, our department ran our own model where we provided a soft second mortgage to low and moderate income homeowners of $30,000, $40,000 or $50,000 at settlement. to qualifying households. And then we also worked with Habitat for Humanity and Milford Housing to assist households as well through their own already established models.
So when I read this, your first page here, your memorandum, it says 8, 6, and 2. We actually didn't just do 8 houses.
No, we did 28.
Right. So sorry, what I was just specifying for Habitat in Milford, but
okay, that's just there. Okay, so we did locate or do use to assist on the purchase or whatever.
Correct.
28 homes.
Yes, the other 20 were done through our department through our model.
So there's 28 plus another 20.
No.
No, just
28
total.
Sorry.
So 8 and 20. Okay, yes. I got that. Gets to 28. Okay, how about Kent County and the rest of the state? How did we fare with how did we stack up with their NSP programs?
We were better.
Well, in terms of expending the funds, I believe we were the first to complete that.
Spent the money faster, the federal money faster than the other two counties.
Well, it was more in terms of we actually put homeowners in the homes much quicker than the other jurisdictions. The other jurisdictions had a different model where the counties themselves purchased the homes. And then marketed them, which we wanted to avoid, and we were actually more successful in avoiding that. So it worked out significantly better. And we exceeded all of our expenditure requirements and those set for the 50% and below AMI households.
Okay. All right, that's good, yeah.
Sounds like you saved us some money.
Saved us.
Well, that's the county.
And another comment concerning the program, through Mr. Baker's leadership and the department, they were looking at ways that this could go on for a longer period of time as well. So the model that was drafted actually, as money is, as homes are sold, comes back into the program so it can be reused. And so then the models were drafted that way, and other jurisdictions now are picking up our model that was drafted to use in their program. So it's a very good program the way it was set up for Sussex.
Any more questions or comments for them? I do think you've done a great job with this program.
Thank
and I'm sure you do a good job with NSP too, and it's a big benefit to this county. We appreciate it very much. Do you have a motion?
I do. Be it moved that Sussex County Council grant approval to enter into a memorandum of understanding with Milford Housing and Habitat to acquire, rehab, and sell foreclosed homes under the required guidelines of NSP 2.
I'll make a motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second.
Second.
Mr. Cole. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, good
Mr.
job.
Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Old business.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
This is an old business application. It's for a conditional use for two multifamily dwelling units located in Lewis and Rehoboth under it. The development's known as the West Rehoboth. The Planning Commission held a public hearing on July 14th of this year. They deferred action. The County Council's public hearing was on August the 2nd, and you had to defer action. On September 8th, the Commission reviewed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the Commission recommend approval of CU 1905 for the West Rehoboth Community Land Trust for two multifamily dwelling units based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. The property is located within a GR, general residential district. Multifamily dwellings are appropriate in this district where medium density residential uses are favored. The proposed conditional use will have no significant impact upon traffic. The project is consistent with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. One of the stated goals of the plan is to provide affordable housing options for the county's low and moderate income residents. This conditional use promotes that goal. The project will not have an adverse impact on the neighboring properties or community, which currently has a variety of housing types, including multifamily dwellings, single family homes, and manufactured homes. There are also several businesses and commercial uses and zonings in the community as well. The Commission and County Council previously approved a similar application, which was known as CU 1722, for a total of four multifamily dwelling units and two structures in the West Rehoboth community. This recommendation is consistent with that prior approval. Sussex County Engineering has confirmed that there are two sewer laterals on the site which previously served two manufactured homes that existed there. Any system upgrades will be the applicant's responsibility. The property, which is only 6,986 square feet in size, is not big enough under the county zoning code for two units without a variance from the Board of Adjustment. And Mr. Johnson understands that there's a variance application pending before the board. This recommendation is contingent upon the board's approval of that variance. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. This recommendation is contingent upon the approval of a variance from the County Board of Adjustment to allow two multifamily dwelling units on the subject property. If such a variance is not granted, this recommendation is null and void. This recommendation should not be viewed as making a determination as to whether a hardship or exceptional practical difficulty exists sufficient to grant a variance. Such determination is a responsibility of the Board of Adjustment. B, only two units shall be constructed upon the property. C, the project shall be subject to the approval of the Sussex County Engineering Department. The applicant shall be required to design, fund, and construct any upgrades to the county sewer system that are necessary to serve the two units. D, the building shall be designed to resemble a single-family dwelling. An example of this would be a separation of the entrances so that no two entrances are on the same side of the units. E, at the time of site plan approval, the applicant shall also submit front, side, and rear elevation drawings of the buildings to the commission. Finally, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The site plan shall include designated parking spaces that do not require a resident to back directly onto an adjacent street. There was a motion, a second. It was carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with a recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0.
Any questions of council? Mrs. Deaver.
Mr. Abbott, do you recall what the commission's thinking was when they require now? They want to require that one entrance be on the front, one be on the back. Why are they why do they put that in as a condition? Do you recall what the reason was for that?
I would assume it was to make it look as a just one unit.
Is that something that's important? I mean, to us, I don't know whether duplexes I've seen have two front entrances, you know, on the front of the building. Can we leave it up to the applicant?
It could be how they design the unit.
Mm-hmm. But we're talking here about a condition. Yeah. What if it doesn't work out well? You know,
you could have like an entrance on one end. Entrance on others, it depends on how they separate the unit.
I think if we don't mind if there is a duplex, if the council supports putting two units on that one parcel, I don't know if we want to really get into the design. They're going to have to meet this county's, you know, regulatory requirements. So. Maybe that we've gone a little too far there, possibly, on our oversight of this project. So I would support maybe removing that condition or softening it somehow. I don't know, Mr. Moore, if you've got any suggestions, but she may have a point.
You could simply remove it if that's a pleasure.
Is there anybody else has any comments? Anybody have any heartburn over that?
Well, not so. I guess the reason that planning and zoning put that in there might be worth exploring. I mean, there must have been some reason, a little more than just.
Well, I think it's a single family home a zoning area, and I believe they thought maybe the two front entrances would distract from that. There are multifamily, you know, in that nearby, and it hadn't affect property values or anything. So I personally don't think the duplex, you know, will affect things. And I'm not really that concerned about where the doors are.
I think it puts unnecessary constraints on the applicant.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we remove.
Second.
That condition about which number is that?
D.
D.
I have a motion, Mr. Cole, to remove item 8D under the condition stipulations. You have a second?
Second.
Second, Mrs. D. Any question on the motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
I just don't think we have enough information about why it was put on there for the time being. At least I'll vote no.
Mr. Wilson?
I was thinking about using the word defer. Because I don't believe I understand why it was put there and why it's being removed. But I'm not for more government, so I'll just vote yes.
I vote no, but the motion passes 3-2.
Thank you.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance as amended.
Second.
You would need to read the ordinance.
Oh, sorry. Need to read it first.
That'd be fine.
Has all the discussion been exhausted?
No, I think we sort of have time to have more discussion before we make a motion on this project. Certainly we're open to discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Phillips?
I was very surprised. Shane, why don't you take a look at those? I was very surprised with planning and zoning's decision, quite frankly, when I read the minutes from planning and zoning. It almost as if we're talking about two different applications here. So I figured I must have missed something, and I put these down more just for interpretation to show me where I'm wrong on these, Shane. And if you don't have all the answers, I understand. I don't think there's a great rush on this, but first thing was within West Rehoboth itself, has there been duplexes built? I know there was one approved that was referenced, but it's not been built.
I'm not aware of any that have been built, but the one I made reference to earlier, the 1722, that was approved for 4 units. Mm-hmm. We thought the application was voided. Mr. Lank, Mr. Robertson, and myself met, I think it was last Thursday, and we were discussing some of the projects on the ordinance that was adopted back in August extending projects. We found that 1722 is still valid.
Still okay. Valid.
Mm-hmm. But it hasn't been built yet.
It's not been built.
And who was the applicant on that?
I think it was the land trust.
I think so,
on
too.
That also.
So they've already been approved for one, but they haven't done anything with it. In fact, they let it expire, but the ordinance picked them back.
Ordinance revived it, yes.
Happens a lot.
So right now, there are no duplexes in there, and you know it does seem like this application would, again, create an inconsistency within the character of that community. Now, there was a duplex, and this is the one that you're speaking of, which I reference in the number 2 here, that was approved. But a distinction with that is that it was approved, but there was not going to be the need to go through the Board of Adjustments for a variance on that one. Is that correct?
I believe so. I think it was a double lot.
Right. But this one is going to require a variance even above what we decide here.
Yes, there's a pending application in front of the board right now. It's been deferred.
Right. Number 3, there was evidence presented at the planning and zoning hearing that there's 125 lots in the area, and there are 54 home sites with 71 vacant lots, which means we have over a 50% vacancy within that area. And it's kind of surprising to me that not only are we going to approve a lot here, but we're actually going to upzone it to what I would consider high density by any measure. The property, and I say that because the property is only 6,986 square feet, and you couldn't even put—is this correct, Shane? You couldn't even put one unit on there without a variance. Because in GR zone land, you need 10,000 square feet. So this being,
this is a non-conforming lot. It was created prior to zoning. So as long as they can meet the setbacks, which would be 30, 10, and 10,
okay,
they could build a single family.
They could do a single, okay.
Single-family home or a manufactured home.
Manufactured homes.
When you figure that two units is going to bring this down to around 3,500 square feet per unit, I mean, on a per acre density, that's pushing over 12 units per acre. And in the findings of facts that we were read just now, it talks about medium density residential uses. And I don't think that, based on our definitions, 12 units, 12 plus units per acre is considered medium residential. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. I'm surprised that we're considering this when this still has to go to the Board of Adjustments, and we, I think, could agree that something that so dramatically fails to comply with our zoning code's density requirements, especially in a single-family area, we're basically giving a tacit wink and nod to the Board of Adjustments that it's okay. And it just seems to me like that's a pretty dangerous precedent to set. There's not adequate room on the undersized lot for the duplex building, plus safe off-street parking for two families. There was testimony raising these concerns during the public hearing, and there were letters and testimony from many of the citizens expressing other concerns. And I just want to make clear, in number six, I said I support revitalizing West Rehoboth, but not when it requires a change from the single-family nature of the immediate community and density beyond what is permitted in the code based on the lot, on the size of the lot. I mean, this is a concern, I say I, but this is a concern that we certainly heard from many of the people that testified. And finally, something that many of the members of council always refer to is our engineering department. And in the minutes, our engineering department said a number of things that, again, seem inconsistent with our approving this. It said that the system design did not consider, this is our central sewer system in that area, did not consider development of West Rehoboth subdivision parcels into multifamily dwellings at higher densities, and that the parcel is located in a residential subdivision of single-family lots, that the proposed project is twice the density of the system design assumptions for the area, and that approval of the project that increases density in the area has the potential to cause significant capacity issues in this drainage area and limit options for other property owners, that approval of the higher densities has a negative impact on the sewer system capacity overall.
Mr. Phillips, they came back later. They realized there were two laterals, and they recanted on that.
They
changed their mind on that.
There are two
our engineering.
There are two laterals there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they said that it does meet the criteria.
Yeah, they backed off it. They changed that. The reason is because historically that parcel had two units on it. So when sewer was laid out in West Rehoboth, they went through, and if a parcel had X number of units on it, they gave laterals to accommodate that.
But I think what the underlying suggestion in this statement is still valid, in the sense that if we begin down this path of approving multifamily homes in here, it's going to overwhelm the
weren't sewers. You the guy at Lewis, going into Lewis, that you didn't care about what the engineering department said?
I'm parroting your words from...
No, I'm just wondering how you...
Let's one person talk at a time.
Okay, it's neither here.
Phillips has the floor.
Now, again, the underlying statement of planning of our engineering department, I believe, is still true, that if we begin down this path of putting multifamily dwellings in higher densities in this community, it is going to cause sewer problems. Now, I'm not saying that we should not do it simply because of that, because I believe our engineering department is more than capable of overcoming those difficulties. But hearing what you and others have said in the past, we shouldn't put that burden on engineering. And I'm just trying to understand the conflict, the hypocrisy.
Do you remember what you've said in the past?
I stand with that.
Unbelievable.
Mr. Phillips has the floor. Anything else, Vance?
No. Just those questions are pretty heavy on my mind right now.
Okay.
I have a question.
Mrs. Deaver?
This list that you read from, Mr. Phillips, is that something that came from you, or
It's something I worked on. Yes.
You worked on it yourself?
No, I had help.
You what?
I had help.
Oh, you had help? Thank you.
Any more questions?
Yeah,
Mr. Cole?
I got a question. The West Rehoboth, I'm very familiar with the neighborhood. Many, many of the parcels, and even today, that are shown as a single-family home lot have more than one unit on it. Historically, it has had there was a number of manufactured homes, all stuck catawampus in there, and then the county came through. The engineering department has basically they said, yeah, you know, this is a problem area, but it's if we expand that, there are very few parcels left that have this situation where you have one parcel with two sewer laterals. Most of them don't. So you, if you follow engineering department, which I have historically supported the engineering department's concerns throughout the county, not just here, but in Lewis, in Bethany, you name it, I've supported their concerns because if we have some sewer capacity problems. They came back and said there is no sewer capacity because this was engineered and it was part of the plan to accommodate this parcel. So historically, this parcel. Now, is it going to set a precedent? Yes, it would. If you ignore in the future, as you've done in the past, many of us have ignored engineering department's concerns. So depending on how much validity you give to the engineering department, I give it a lot, and I've got a history of past positions on some applications. So what we have here is engineering department. When they came to put sewer in, there was two units. So historically, it's had two units. That was from prior to zoning. So that's from the 70s into the 60s. There have been two units there. They got so bad, they pulled them off. Anytime I think that you could come in there with new construction to encourage other new properties, it will bring up the community. They're also multifamily in the immediate area. So I think there's a historical precedence here. The engineering department says there is capacity. I don't think it sets a precedent, but I can support this application because it doesn't do the things that you claim it does. Right? So it does need a variance, does need these other things, and they may not get them. But I don't think to say no to single-family homes and duplexes being together, we've done that all over this county. We do it with RPCs. We do it in all these upscale communities. Why can't you do it here? That is the concern I have with this council if we can't be consistent on how we've looked at land use. We've also done conditional uses where we put commercial applications in the midst of West Rehoboth. So we've deviated a number of times on there. So we have office buildings where there should be residential properties. Is that not a true statement? Shane, are you familiar enough with some of our past zonings? We've had some conditional uses in West Rehoboth where we've had residential properties that are now doing office space, an engineering firm or something.
Then commercial, right. A land environmental
right.
agency.
That's right. So we've done a number of things. So again, I don't think this is that threatening. Now if the Board of Adjustment feels that there is a safety issue or something else, you know, that's a different story.
George, have you been down to see this property, this lot?
Yeah, I've been into it.
And to protect this lot?
No, probably not this lot.
The reason I'm saying it, I've been down. Lawrence and I took a ride down mm-hmm. today. I don't know where they're going to park these people. And anybody builds anything today, that's the first thing on the list.
Well, the Board of Adjustment reflect
where
that.
Where do you park? Where are they going to park? This lot is not big enough. It's only a small, very small lot up in front where they're going to put these duplexes.
Sam, it may not get constructed because the variances aren't granted because of those concerns you have. My concern right now is as a land use approach, duplex versus a single family home. I don't have a problem with duplex. If they can do it.
You can build the duplex, but they're going to park on their neighbor's lots. And I don't know if the neighbors are like that.
Well, I don't think it'll be able to go through planning and zoning without showing site plans that show they have adequate parking. So
I don't think they had the parking.
Well, that's not.
Would there be any thought to deferring this to see what the Board of Adjustment does?
Well, the dilemma is there is a loan agreement and some other outstanding problems that they have with the property owner, contractual things where things may expire.
Is that our concern?
No, but I'm just saying, I don't know what, if we have a reason to defer, I think we know that it's a small lot. We know that it's a single family home community. We know that historically that there has been two units there. We know that there's sewer capacity. We know it's going to need a variance to do certain things. We know everything. I don't know what else we're going to learn to defer on it. But my understanding is they're backed up to where they have to do something contractually with the contract. So, and we've sat on it, I think, long enough. So I would just say we need to vote yes or no.
And if we do approve it, it's something that does have funding, hopefully. And, you know, we've got 10,000 units that we just extended that haven't gone anywhere.
We have testimony from the applicant. They don't have funding. In fact, they said they'll probably be coming back to us for funding. That's what they said.
I don't remember that one.
So we'll probably be coming back to you.
Yeah, you've got
any, any more comments from council?
I move that we defer.
We have a motion to defer.
I'll second.
And a second. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
No, I don't vote for that.
Mr. Cole?
I think we have enough information to be able to make a decision on this parcel, and I believe there is evidence that extending it will detrimentally affect the whole project.
They give you time to go down and look at it.
No, it's a financial contractual arrangements.
Okay. Did they bring that to us? Was that in there?
I don't think it is. I just think it's in conversation I've had with when they asked me to make sure they could get it on a certain time. It was supposed to have been on earlier, and it's because of that.
Okay. I did ask at the hearing who was behind the financing. I think Ms. Doty responded and gave me a number of groups.
Well, that banker came
yes.
or something.
Yes.
We'll take so, continue with the vote. Mr. Phillips?
So many questions still outstanding. I vote yes.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote yes.
I vote yes also. Motion carried. Next. Grant request.
Okay, only two today. The first one,
good.
Autism Delaware.
Can she be recognized?
Make a comment?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just interrupt for a moment. I'm the attorney on the land trust.
So hold up one second, please. Do we have anyone to comment on that one?
No, the record's been closed on the matter.
I just wanted to advise you that the Board of Adjustment deferred until you make a decision. So if you could just have a comment to Mr. Burrell, that was my only comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Autism Delaware.
Autism Delaware.
Is that a new thing?
Yes. And
they are the Lower Delaware Autism Foundation.
Okay.
And they are having a fundraiser and would like us to help sponsor their event.
They're countywide.
They are countywide. They support autism all throughout our county, the families, public awareness, education, advocacy, and support programs.
What kind of sponsorships do they have?
They start at 500, 1,000, 2,000, and on up.
I'll make a motion. We give $1,000 to support as a sponsor for the autism gala.
Second.
200 each.
Yes, that'd be 200.
Have a motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
To grant $1,000 to Autism Delaware for their autism gala and auction with $200 for each councilmatic fund. Question on the motion. Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes, it's for the
Mr.
children.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I also vote yes. Motion carried.
And the second one, Polly Branch Civic Association for their after school program. Mr. Phillips.
Is there a precedent amount?
They're requesting $1,500.
I'll make that motion for my account.
Have a motion, Mr. Phillips, seconded.
I'll second.
Mr. Wilson, to grant $1,500. Is that correct?
Yes.
From Mr. Phillips' account to the Polly Branch Civic Association for after-school program expenses. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson. Also vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Any initial business we have? Okay. Chip? We took off the zoning ordinances. Okay. Wow. We have Catherine Ward redistricting map.
Good morning. I'm the President of the League of Women Voters of Sussex County, and we've been very active with the redistricting map. I just would like to state that our goal, the League's goal, is to empower and educate citizens so that they are an important part of the process. To that end, I see that the way that the map was changed, which was very little. The map was changed very little. And it was changed in consistency with the population for sure, because that was a mandate, had to be done. But there's another important part of that, which is communities of interest. And all that means is that the people within those communities are empowered to speak for themselves through their council person with their particular interest. So with that in mind, the things that we're concerned about, one of the most obvious things we're concerned about is when we look at the map, it stays the same across the southern part of Delaware, and we wonder how you can separate Bethany and South Bethany and those other resort areas and hope that those people are going to have important representation with their particular interests. So we'd like you to consider that. We'd like you to consider that those communities of interest, it's about empowering those people so that their interests are met. It's difficult to have a district where the interests are tremendously varied. And I understand that things had to be done for population, but having worked on the map for a really long time, there were other ways of doing that rather than separating those quiet resorts. And I'd just like you to take that under consideration as you proceed.
Thank you. Okay, we have no executive session, no possible action. We'll entertain a motion to...
Make one remark or question.
DeDever?
I appreciate the fact that we're going to have a workshop on the adequate public facilities. I'd like to participate in inviting folks to that workshop. I hope we invite some folks from Kent County and Newcastle County who are familiar with the ordinance. That's my request.
Okay. Anything else from council? No, we'll entertain a motion to recess until 1:30 public hearings.
Got it.
Motion, Mr. Wilson. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. We stand in recess till 1:30 for public hearings.